We're going to continue our series today. Firmly Rooted is the name of our series. We've been talking about what we believe. How many of you think it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it? Amen? We're all called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know what we believe, and we're also called to go out and make disciples. So if you don't know what you believe, it's hard to make disciples of others. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, someone who listens, someone who hears and adheres to instruction, someone that's teachable and pliable, someone that's willing to make adjustments in themselves. And I think that we should approach the word with that attitude. Many times if we've heard a verse of scripture, if we've heard something before, we can say, oh yeah, I know about that. I've heard that passage before. No, come with humility. Come with a teachable heart. Come willing to say, Lord, is there something here that I'm missing? Is there some way that I can make an adjustment in myself and grow and develop spiritually? A true disciple is not one that just hears, but it's one that hears and is willing to do what they've heard. And that's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're called to go out and make disciples of other people. So today, we're going to be looking at the subject of prayer. I love to teach on the subject of prayer. Everybody wants an answer when they set out to pray. And for some of us, prayer can become routine. It can become something that we just mechanically do because we're supposed to, or we've been trained that way. When we pray half-heartedly, we will not get the answers we desire. You know, when you pray that way, you'll back off when adversity comes. When your prayer is challenged, you'll back off if you're praying half-heartedly. We'll say things like, well, it must not have been God's plan for that to happen. Well, you can know what God's plan is for sure. You don't have to wonder about it. Prayer should bring results. Say that with me. Prayer should bring results. If you're praying and not getting results, you're doing something wrong. If you're praying and not getting results, you're doing something wrong. Because when you pray, you should get results. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you believe the word of God is true? Well, there it is in black and white. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, meaning that it gets a lot done. We pray to get answers, not just to go through the motions, not just to say that we prayed. Don't practice ineffective prayer. Don't practice ineffective prayer. Lots of people pray, I'll pray, and if it works out, great, and if it doesn't, okay, that's okay too. You know, there's 100,000 songs on the radio that talk about that kind of stuff, even on the Christian stations. Well, I prayed and nothing happened, but I'll be thankful to God anyways. Well, what kind of thinking is that? That's not in line with the word. That's not what God desires for your life. That doesn't match up to the scripture we just read. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person might not get an answer. No, it says that it avails much, that you should be praying and you should be getting an answer. Don't practice ineffective prayer. If you're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and not getting an answer, stop praying. And figure out what the situation is. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about how to pray effectively. You should have answers when you pray. Learn how to pray and understand how prayer works. Prayer starts with having an understanding that God wants your prayers. That should be square one. When you set out to pray, you have to know that God wants to answer your prayers. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. How many of you believe the Word of God? There it is. There it is. I've been in the ministry 25 years now. A little longer than that if you count other things. But sometimes people say, well, I pray and pray and God doesn't answer. And I just want to encourage them. You know, if you're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and never seeing an answer, you need to take a step back and say, Lord, where am I missing it? Am I not doing something right? Because God wants to answer you. He says, for those that ask, they will receive. And even taking that first verse there, asking, you'd be surprised how many people never ask. They'll talk about things. They'll grumble about things. They'll even talk to God about their problems, but they're not asking Him. Some people sit and complain to God. My crummy situation, and I don't feel good today, and this situation over here is terrible, and all these things are happening in my life, and I never have this, and I never have that. There's no asking there. That's complaining. And there is a place to do that with God. The Bible talks about casting your cares upon the Lord. That's one way that you can do that. You can tell Him what's bothering you, and you can share those things with God, and He cares about you. But don't stop there. Don't stop there after you've casted your cares. Ask Him to do something about it. It says, for those that ask, they will receive. A lot of people don't really ask. People think God only answers when He wants to, or He only answers some prayers. Is that what the Scripture says here? Ask, and maybe God will give to you. Or if God's in the mood, He'll answer you. Or if you seek, once in a while, you'll get something. No, that's not what it says. It says, those that ask will receive. Those that seek, they find. Those that knock, the door will be open. You have to know what prayer is and know how it works. There are conditions to prayer. There are conditions on what you ask. Prayer is based on God's Word. And when you pray in agreement with God's Word, you have the opportunity to receive the answer. His Word is His will. The Bible, His Word is God's will for your life. Well, I wonder if God wants to do this for me. Well, open up your Bible and find out. I wonder if God wants to meet my need. Well, open up your Bible and find out what He said about it. I wonder if God wants to heal someone in my family. Open up the Bible and see what God has said about it. His Word is His will, and that's where prayer begins. We pray according to God's will. And that's where so many people miss prayer. They're out here praying all these things that really is not the will of God. You have to pray in line with God's Word. His Word is His will. You cannot ask apart from His Word. John 15, verse 7 says, let's turn there and read that. It says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Did you hear what that said? It means that you're going to ask in line with things that you've read in His Word. Well, the Bible talks about a lot of things. And if you'll ask in line with His Word, the Bible says you'll get an answer. By this, My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you'll be My disciples. What is this talking about? How is God glorified? How do we bear fruit? By getting answers to our prayer. Think about it. If you get an answer to your prayer, what are you going to say? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He's glorified, right? And you're bearing fruit in your life. The fruit that you're bearing is prayer fruit. We need to be reminded of Paul's exhortation to Timothy. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 not to be timid or shy about these things. He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of My hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Paul wrote this exhortation to Timothy while he was in prison for the second time. and he was facing death. And he writes this to encourage Timothy, his spiritual son. And he probably encouraged himself in the process. Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear or of timidity, but a spirit of a power, a spirit that doesn't quit, a spirit that doesn't draw back. He says, you've been given a spirit of power, an overcoming spirit, a victorious spirit, a fighting spirit. That's the kind of attitude that you need to have in prayer. We need to stand our ground when it comes to our prayer life. You might have seasons in your life where you feel dry, or you dry spiritually, or you feel like nothing much is happening, or God isn't answering, or your prayers aren't getting through. Do you ever feel that way? Those are the times you need to stand your ground and remind yourself of who you are. Remind yourself of what you have on the inside of you. Remind yourself of what God has said, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation is. You need to stand and use your authority that has been given to you. Luke 10, the 10th chapter, verse 19, talks about our authority. It says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know, we have authority over the enemy. He can't hinder you if you'll stand your ground. Many times the enemy comes into our life because we are so accustomed to having problems and circumstances that we just kind of let him in. We just say, well, that's just my life. Here comes another trouble. Yep, that's my life. That's what my life is about. No, the Bible says that we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible says that we're in a spiritual battle, not a battle of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. As believers, we need to stand up, stand our ground, and use our authority over the enemy. James 4:7 says, "To submit yourself, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That word resist means to withstand, to keep out, to fend off, to endure. You have to make up your mind that you're not going to be defeated, especially when it comes to the arena of prayer. You know, you have to be a little tenacious when it comes to your prayer life. You have to decide you're going to win and that you're going to walk in victory. Because the Bible tells us there's someone that opposes us. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life." You have to understand that there's good and evil. God is good and the enemy is evil. And the enemy is opposing you, and he's trying to hinder you. He's trying to keep you from receiving what God wants to give to you. But you don't have to worry about him, because the Bible says that Jesus defeated him. Victory is a choice. I know many times people don't believe that. Victory is a choice. It's an attitude. You refuse to be defeated. You pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you get going. If you fall down, you go again. We have to understand how the enemy works, though. Because many times we get defeated because we are unaware of how he works. The enemy will use the arena of your thought life. That's how he will defeat you. He will come in. He will bring discouragement. Has any person ever been discouraged in this room? Ever? A time or two. That's how the enemy works. He comes to discourage you. Because what is the process of being discouraged? Just think about it naturally. What is the process of being discouraged? You think about something that is defeating you. Something that is taking away something from you. Something that's taking your joy, your peace. And you don't know how to fix it, and so it becomes overwhelming, and your eyes get fixed on the problem, and you become discouraged. That's the enemy working in your life. He will tell you that God doesn't care about you. Anybody ever felt that God doesn't care about them? You don't have to give testimony, but I think we've all been there at one point or another. He will say your prayers are not working. You need to resist him. Remember, James said, resist the enemy. The enemy is not going to come to your front door with a pitchfork and a red tail. Oh, well, that's the devil. I'm supposed to resist him. Keep the door locked. No, he's not going to come that way. He comes with ideas and thoughts and suggestions. Well, you're just not good enough. You're not a good enough Christian. You're not smart enough. You don't have the right, you don't have what it takes. You're not special enough for God to do something for you. Those are lies of the enemy. And what happens when he whispers those lies and we grab hold of them? The enemy has an inroad to our life. You know what? We have to resist him. We have to refuse to allow him to have access to our life. And that is done through the arena of our thought life. You resist and take authority with your words. You speak the truth when he whispers lies. When he tells you that God is not going to provide for you, what are you going to do? 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 That keeps you up at night. You need to start speaking the truth. God said that he'd provide for me. God said that he'd take care of me. That's what I'm going to do. God said to not worry about things. That's what I'm going to do. God said that he'd amply supply. That's what I'm going to do. You have to speak truth over your circumstances. When he whispers those lies, you have to take authority by using your words. Did you know that your words interrupt your thought patterns? You could start thinking in your head, A, B, C, D, and then start speaking numbers with your mouth. Just try that for a minute. We're going to start thinking alphabet in your head, and then we're going to say 1, 2, 3. A, B, 1, 2. Your words stop your thinking. You have to stop thinking to talk. That's the point there. That sometimes the enemy will cause all this negative thinking in your mind. That's why it's important for you to speak, because it interrupts those thought patterns. The Bible talks a lot about speaking the word, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it, but you need to speak the word over your circumstances. Your words interrupt your thought patterns, and you want to make sure that you're speaking words that line up with God's will for your life. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This passage of Scripture is talking about the spiritual fight that we're in, and how most of it's in the arena of our thought life. Casting down imaginations. Where are imaginations in your thought life? It says bringing every thought into captivity. Where are your thoughts in your mind, your thought life, right? Well, who brings those thoughts into captivity? What does the Bible say? We do, right? You're supposed to cast down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. That's you. You're supposed to do that. And again, this is an important element of prayer. People think that prayer is all God. I tell God everything I want. Everything. Lord, I want everything. And then we sit back and we fold our arms and we say, okay, God. Okay, God. And we think that the entire responsibility of prayer is on God. That's not true. That's not true. We have a part to play in prayer. You cannot afford to think on any old thing that comes across your mind. It will affect you in every realm of your life, your thinking. People want to put the responsibility of everything on God when it comes to prayer, But some things are your responsibility. We see right here, it's your responsibility to mind your thinking. It's your responsibility to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. How many of you know that it's God's will for all mankind to be saved? So if you're praying for someone to be saved, is it God's will? Yes. How do we know that? The Bible tells us, right? So if a thought comes to my mind that so-and-so is never going to get saved, is that an argument? Is that a thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God that says God desires that all men to be saved? Right. So what are we supposed to do with that thought? We're supposed to get rid of it. God wants to save your loved one. God wants to save you. He wants to save me. It's His will. So when a thought comes that's contrary to His will, we're supposed to reject it. That's all that means. Reject those thoughts. Get them out of your head. How do you do that? By speaking truth. You can't pull thoughts out of your head. You can't extract them with your hand. You have to speak them with, you speak to those thoughts with your words. You speak the truth. We need to learn to cooperate with God in prayer. We have to renew our minds. We have to monitor our thinking. We have to ask in faith. We have to do our part in prayer. It's not all up to Him. We have a part. Doesn't the Bible say to believe when you ask? Well, can we, well, see, we don't want to be responsible for any of it. We don't. It's all up to, people say, well, I prayed. God didn't do anything. Must not have been His plan for my life. Well, who said that? Did you resist the enemy? Did you monitor your thinking? Did you continue to believe? Did you do your part? That's how prayer works. That's how prayer works. And if you're just throwing up your desires and doing nothing, you're not praying. And that's why people struggle in the area of prayer. If you want answers, you have to pray according to God's word. So let's talk about some things that will help you, things that you can do to do your part in prayer. First of all, you have to understand that God wants to respond. God wants to answer your prayers. For some of you, that might be a revelation because you've been praying your whole life and not having anything. God wants to respond to your prayers. God is not withholding the answers from you. Well, let's hold that back to see if we can, you know, see how long they'll grovel. God is not sadistic. God is not, trying to torture you. Well, let's let them suffer a little longer. No, that's not the heart of God. You have to believe in God. You have to know that He wants to answer. He's a good God. And the Bible says He's a giver. God is a giver. He wants to give to you. The reasons people's prayers go unanswered is not because of Him. If your prayer is going unanswered, it's not God, it's you. How many of you would agree that God's never the problem? God's never the problem. He's perfect in every way. If there's a problem, it lies with us. And I don't say that to condemn you. I say that to motivate you to figure out what the situation is. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. This includes your prayer life. You should pray in faith. You should believe. You have to believe God. You can trust in Him. When you hear the word, it needs to be received with truth. How many of you know what Romans says? Faith cometh by hearing, by the word of God. We know that faith comes by hearing the word. But just because you've heard the word doesn't mean you have faith. You have to hear the word and receive it as truth. We have many examples in the scriptures concerning that. How about the Apostle Thomas? After Jesus died and was raised again, other disciples told him that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Thomas said, I will not believe it unless I can put my hand in his side and touch the scars in his hands. He chose not to believe, even though he heard truth. The same is true with us. You can hear the truth of God's word, but you have the opportunity to either believe that or not. You have to receive it as truth. When I read Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You might say, well, that's a great idea. That would be a wonderful thing if God would do that. But I just don't believe it. You have to hear truth. You have to hear the word and receive it as truth. That's how faith comes. You put your faith in action by speaking. Every time there is faith, there is speaking. How did you get saved? Well, the Bible says that you believed and you confessed, and that's how you got saved. And the Bible also says we're saved by faith. Every time there's believing, there should be speaking. It has to be in your heart and it has to be in your mouth. Don't walk by what you see. You're supposed to believe that you have received when you pray. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. There is always believing and speaking when there's faith. A spirit of faith is fearless. You can't have faith and have fear at the same time. The things that you believe and speak out of your mouth, those are the things that you're going to see in your life. The Bible says we believe and we speak. The speaking comes from the believing. The speaking comes from the believing. Why did you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because you believed in your heart. You believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Why could you say with your mouth that God is meeting your needs? Because there should be a belief in your heart that He's going to meet your needs. I'm not talking, you know, Jesus used the term vain confessions. He criticized the religious people of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they had many words, but it didn't mean anything to them. Well, I'm a spiritual person. I love the Lord, and I do this and this, and I do that and that. But their heart wasn't connected to it. Your speaking should come from your believing. That's how it's effective. So it's important to understand that. Well, let's turn to Mark 11, verse 23. We believe and speak, and the speaking comes from believing. Not the other way around. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This really is talking about prayer. A mountain represents a problem in your life. The Bible says you're to speak to your problems. You know, we see in the life of Jesus, he spoke all the time. He spoke to sickness. He spoke to the wind and the waves. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to all kinds of things. Remember when he was in the boat and they were crossing the sea and a storm came up? And then he woke up and he stood up and he said, peace be still. He spoke to the waters. He spoke to the mountain. That's what he's talking about here. And when you speak to the mountain, you're supposed to believe the things that you're saying will be done. And you'll have whatever you say. But again, the saying comes from believing. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Again, just a great picture of prayer. Mountains represent problems in your life. The Bible tells us to speak to them. Tell them what you want. Ask in prayer. Ask in prayer. How can you keep doubt from your heart? By thinking on the truth. One of the best ways to do that is speaking truth over your life. Your words, like we've said, your words will interrupt your thought patterns. Believe the words you are speaking that they're coming to pass. Put yourself and God in remembrance of His Word. You know, sometimes people think that confessing the Word brings the answer. And there's a fine line here. Confessing the Word, you know, the Bible tells us to confess His Word, but we don't, just saying a scripture is not like a magical incantation. We say the scripture to remind ourselves of what we believe. It holds our place in faith. God's Word is the thing that brings the power to your situation. God will do it for you. You don't have to do His part. You have to do your part. You have to monitor your thinking. You have to resist wrong thoughts. You have to resist the enemy. You have to hold your place in faith. I like to think of it this way. How many of you have ever ordered something over the phone? You call up and you say, I want this, this, and that. I remember years ago, I ordered a Dell computer. I always like to talk to someone because sometimes I don't get it right if I do it online. So I had ordered a computer over the phone. You know, I had my credit card and I paid for it. And she went over the whole thing with me. You're going to get this, this, and this. And I could ask questions and I could talk to her about it. And I made sure I got what I wanted. And so think about it. When you order something over the phone, you're speaking. You're telling what you want. You're making it very clear. I don't order a computer and think that I'm going to get a piano, right? I know what I'm getting because I've ordered a computer. Not just a computer, but I ordered a Dell computer. It was a desktop, not a laptop. I know specifically what I wanted. And I used my words to order it. Well, the same, there's a parallel here with prayer. You know, I ordered it, and then I said, I have a new computer. Right? I gave them my credit card. They told me that it's going to ship in 2 to 4 days. And I hung up the phone and I said, I have a new computer. Well, do I have it in my hands presently? No. But do I have one? Yes. Why do I have one? Because I believe that they're going to do what they said they would do. And if they don't, I'll hold them accountable, right? But the same is true with God. It's the same picture in prayer. We use our words to tell God what we desire. And there's an important aspect here. We pray according to His will or His word. I can't call Dell and say, send me a pair of fuzzy slippers. They don't have any slippers. They don't sell slippers. Well, the same is true with God. God, I would like a new spouse. I'm tired of this old one. I would like a new one. That's not praying in line with His word. God, I would like to be a millionaire. I'd like to have trillions of dollars in my bank account. Well, there's nothing in here that tells me that I can have that. So you can't ask for those things because they're ineffective prayers. You have to pray in accordance with His will, and His will is His word. Now, the Bible says that He will meet your needs and that He'll even give you the desires of your heart. You can pray for those things. So you're not limited when you understand His word, you're not limited in prayer. But you have to pray in accordance with His word. So after I hang up the phone, I can say I have a new computer. And I truly have it. Because I believe they'll do what they said they would do. I receive their words as truth. So when you pray, you're supposed to ask God. And when you're done praying, you should have taken it by faith. You know, the word receive here in Mark 11 is the word take. We don't like to use that word because we think of children. You know, when our boys were little, they were 16 months apart, and Andrew would always take a toy from Adam. And Adam was pretty scrappy. He'd go over and take it back. But we think of that word take as something that it's, you know, you're taking. Well, the word here in Mark 11:23 is that when you, the word receive means take. You're supposed to believe that you take. You're supposed to take things in prayer. If you haven't taken it in prayer, you didn't pray right. Think about it. If you hung up the phone with Dell Computers and you gave me your credit card, they said they'd ship it. Well, I hope they sent it to me. I hope I get one. I hope I get a computer. I really want a computer. That's how many of us are in prayer. We get done praying. Well, I hope this works out. I hope God will do something for me. I don't know. I don't know. You have to be confident in your prayer. You have to believe God's word. You have to believe you have received. Take it in prayer. Believe the words you are speaking are coming to pass. How about, you know, think about that same concept. We take things all the time with our words. You know, I don't know what TV station it is, but one of the TV stations during the news has that little section, what's going around town. And they'll talk about different sicknesses that go around town. It just annoys me when they do that. You know, it's like, well, you know, this doctor's been seeing strep throat, and this doctor's been seeing fevers, and, you know, just telling you what's going on around out there. But, you know, think about it. We take things with our words. Take sickness and disease for a moment. You know, people are afraid of getting sick. It's flu season. People are fearful of catching a cold or getting the flu. They think that they might get sick. That's what being fearful means. You're thinking about it. I hope I don't get it. I hope I don't get it. You're thinking that you might get sick. The more you think on it, the more it's going to come to you. And I truly believe it. People start talking about it. I think I'm getting sick. I think I'm getting sick. I think, you know, the flu's going around the aisle. I think I'm getting the flu. What are you doing? You're taking it with your words. It's the same spiritual concept. God can only speak truth. And it's up to you whether you receive his truth or not. But you have to believe in the truth. God doesn't want you sick, and God has made a provision for you to walk free of sickness and disease. You can resist sickness. When that report comes on the TV, I say it right out loud. Not in my house. Not in my house. We're not having any of that. Not in my house. Not in my children. Not in my family. We're not having that. And I resist those things with my words. And you can, you don't want to take things with your words. Well, everyone, it's flu season, everyone's getting sick. No, that's not true. You can get sick if you want to, but I'm not. And if I were to get sick, I know the healer. I know the healer, and I'm not going to stay sick. I'm not trying to talk about perfection. I'm just saying we have to have a different attitude about things. You shouldn't just welcome sickness and disease. I remember when our kids were little, you know, and they're trying to get out of school and those type of things. One thing that you could line all three of them up here and they would all tell you, sickness is not your friend. It's not your friend to get you out of school so that you can skip taking that test. Sickness and disease is not your friend. You can't cozy up to sickness when you want to avoid life and then try to walk in health. Don't play with sickness. It's not your friend. Your words matter. Your words determine what you get in life. I heard this story of a husband and a wife, and they were going out to a restaurant. And it's the typical thing, you know. The husband said to his wife, "Where would you like to go for dinner?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. You know, wherever you choose is fine." And so the husband said, "Let's go to this place over here. It's kind of one of those all-you-can-eat buffets." And so they went there, and they had dinner. And time and time again, they would go back to this same restaurant. Until one day, they were eating dinner in this restaurant, and the wife just started getting grumpy. And she's slamming the plate on the table, and she's got her fork, and she's just pouting, and she's really irritated. And the husband's like, "What's up? What's the matter with you?" And she said, I hate this restaurant. I hate coming here. I'm sick of eating this food. I don't like eating at this place. And the husband's like, well, why didn't you say something? We don't have to come here. And the point is, it matters whether you say something. What you get in life, it matters what you say. If you don't ask God to help you in your life, guess what? God cannot help you. And I use that word cannot. God cannot help you unless you ask him. God needs permission from you to intervene in your life. If God were to come down and force his will on your life, you would not have a free will. And if he could do that, let's just get everybody saved. Be done and we'll all go to heaven. You know, God cannot help you unless you ask for his help. People don't get that. You know, they read about it in the Bible. It says to ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God. Why? Well, God knows what I need. You know, he'll do it. No, he won't. Not unless you ask him. You have to ask in prayer because that gives God legal right to intervene and help you in your life. Let me give you one more story before we finish today. You know, over in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, is the story of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet, and the king of the day was Ahab, and Ahab was married to Jezebel. He was a horrible king. And there were many interactions with Elijah and Ahab, but this account here in chapter 18, there was a drought in the land. It had not rained for 3.5 years because the prophet had prayed that there'd be no rain. And Ahab was really mad at Elijah. And so listen to what it says in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." I want you to notice that last verse, the last part of that verse. I will send rain on the earth. Who's talking here? God is. God is. What did God say that he would do? Okay, so he's speaking to Elijah, the prophet, and God said to him, go talk to King Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now, we're going to skip down to verse 41 for time's sake. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Remember, it had not rained for 3.5 years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said, notice he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. He's sending his servant to go look to see if it was going to rain. Elijah's on the top of the mountain praying, asking God to send the rain, and 7 times he sends his servant. Think about it. Maybe the first time his servant came back and said, it doesn't look like rain. 2nd time, doesn't look like rain. 3rd time, doesn't look like rain, Elijah. 4th time, doesn't look like rain. Maybe if you and I were in that situation, we'd start to question. We'd start to wonder, well, is God going to send rain or not? I don't know. Maybe my prayer is not getting through. Maybe something's wrong. Go again, look and see if there's any rain. Comes back, nothing. 6th time, go again, nothing. And the 7th time, it says, then it came to pass, the 7th time, verse 44, then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. 7 times. 7 times. So I want to say this, that Elijah took the word of the Lord saying that God would send the rain. Notice his attitude. He said, you go look, rain's coming. You go look, rain's coming. You go look, rain's coming. Go look again, it's coming. He had an attitude of faith. He believed that God was going to send the rain. He believed what God said. We need to have that same kind of attitude in prayer. You're believing God for a financial breakthrough, and then the bank calls you. Well, Mr. So-and-so, you just bounced a check. I believe God's sending the money. I believe God's providing for my need. You look at your bank statement, and it says, you know, very little. You go and open up your wallet, and you say, okay. You believe that God is meeting your needs, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. We take God at His word. You and I have the opportunity to take God at His word. You go to the Scriptures and discover what His will is for your life. You pray and you ask and you believe God will do it. That is the process of prayer. You're convinced that God will do what He said. How do you get convinced? By spending time in His word. Abraham became fully convinced that God was able to do what he said because he considered the faithfulness of God. He thought about it. He thought about it. He thought about it. He thought about it. He considered the faithfulness of God. We're not supposed to be moved by circumstances. We're not supposed to be moved by what things look like or what people say. We're supposed to be moved by what we believe. What do you believe about the situation? I believe that God said this, and I believe that God will do what He said. Let me give you a couple scriptures. It says, Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The Bible says that you need to have endurance. When the enemy comes and lies to you, you need to endure. The Bible says that when you've endured, you're going to receive what He promised. What He promised right here in His Word. You're going to receive it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. The Bible says if God has promised it in His Word, He says yes. I know people like to argue, sometimes God says no. Not according to His promises. God will never say no to His promise. God might tell you, you might be seeking the Lord, should I move to California or not? God will tell you yes or no. But if it's something in His Word, is it your will for someone to be saved? Is it your will for someone to be healed? Is it your will for someone to be provided for? Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Yes and amen. If He promised in His Word, His answer is yes. Last scripture, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I love that scripture. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Amen. Let's stand up. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to ask God for the things that you need. I want to encourage you to go to the Scriptures and find the promises of God where God has said that He will do what you're asking Him. And you stand on those Scriptures and you have the endurance like Elijah, that you know that you know that you know that you know that God is going to do it for you. Let's pray. Father God, we ask You to help us. Lord, help us to understand that You want to answer our prayers. Father, we pray that You'd give us further light, that You'd give us revelation, Lord, that You're a God who gives. You're a God who blesses. You're a God who increases. You're a God who desires to answer. Lord, help us. Help us to understand that You are a God who desires to answer our prayers. Lord, help us to resist the lies of the enemy. Lord, when the enemy says we're going under, when we can't make it, when we don't have enough, Lord, that remind us of truth in Your Word and help us to speak it out of our mouth. Help us to pray effective prayers. When we speak to mountains, we believe that You'll move them, God. Lord, we speak to the mountains in our life and we command them to get out of the way. We thank You, Lord, that You're a God that helps us. Lord, we refuse to give up. We refuse to quit. We refuse, God, to go without because You said that You desire that we have an abundant life, not just a saved life, but an abundant life. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You answer our prayers when we pray. Father, help us to bear fruit that we could glorify our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.